broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, everywhere. Yep, we even go there. What is it we do?
We go places there.
Yes, other talk shows do not dare tread, where angels go in, you know.
What?
Wise men fear? I don't know. Where angels tread, we also tread. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Welcome to our program. 1-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm trying to remember if anybody had to play the drinking game on our local show on Saturday night, because there is a different number for the local Los Angeles show, and I always give our national number, and I was curious because they've got some drinking game where people are taking knocks of their favorite liqueur or their favorite bathtub gin or their favorite moonshine every time I give the wrong number out. I don't know. And it may be moot. Maybe they don't play that game no more, man. Anyway, welcome to our program. We're playing the game. We're playing the game called Life and Radio, and you're welcome to join us here. In our first hour, we're going to talk about something that has exploded over the weekend. It has exploded, not maybe to the extent that Occupy Wall Street has. It has exploded, perhaps not to the extent that Muammar Gaddafi's assassination has. It has exploded, perhaps not to the extent that other big news stories have, but it is nonetheless a biggie, baby. And we're going to talk about the new Barbie doll that is an internet sensation. The internet is abuzz about this doll. It has tattoos. The new tattooed Barbie, sold by the Barbie doll people, is a collector's item. And we're going to talk with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, one of many parents who is opposed to this doll being marketed in any way, shape, or form toward children. And it is my understanding that it is not, that it is supposedly some kind of a collector's piece. Our number again, 1-800-52, now I'm starting to give the local number out.
Yeah, that's the wrong one.
I know, that's the first time I've done that. 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on KNEW in San Francisco and in Chinook, Montana, KRYK, yes, in Chinook, Montana. And
yeah, when you mess that up, though, I think that you don't care about them, but you know the big city call letters.
Is that right? Maybe it's because they're a brand new affiliate. Maybe it's because I haven't said their call letters lately. Maybe it's because I haven't, KNEW I know because they've been around for a while. I don't know this new station, so I'll get used to them. And we thank them for being on our network. It is KRYK, Chinook, Montana. All right, 877-876-PHIL. The internet is abuzz about the news that a recently released Barbie designed by the L.A.-based Tokidoki brand name, brand comes complete with a pale pink bob, stacked bracelets, an annoyed-looking pet named Bastardino, and, oh yeah, a ton of tattoos on her neck and shoulders. Media outlets such as U.S. News and World Report and The Telegraph have suggested, with the meager evidence, that parents are outraged that Barbie has been tattooed. And on television, concerns about the doll's new ink and its impact on children have been raised on the Today Show. But here in Los Angeles, the folks at Tokidoki are shaking their heads in wonderment at the media frenzy and fielding phone calls in amusement. It's a lot of fuss over a $50 doll that's been marked for adults, adult collectors only. The doll was meant for adult collectors. 7,400 of them were made. It's only available online. It's not like your kid is going to pick this up at Target. So the Tokidoki Barbie, man, is this an official? I guess it's got to be an official Barbie doll. You can't make a Barbie doll without them giving you the license on that. Let's bring on Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Mr. Bozell. We've had you on the show before about, you know, talking about matters concerning families, and you heard what I just said there, the comments from the company that people are making a big deal out of nothing, that this tattooed Barbie doll is for adults only.
Yes, sir, I understand that that's what they're making their claim, but you know as well as I do that these dolls were originally intended for children and continue to be a doll that is marketed to the under 18-year-old female, to the extent that it's only women who are purchasing this doll. That is adult women My concerns certainly do remain the same.
And what are your concerns?
Well, I think that it is a another piece of merchandise that sends a decidedly wrong message to our young people and to our wives and to our the women in our lives. And Phil, since I was on with you on Saturday night, I've gotten a little bit more conversant with the topic, and I've been doing some research. And the doll is there are a number of these dolls. The Toki Doki doll, Barbie, became available on the 6th of October. There's also a Barbie clad in a leather suit. There's a Countess Dracula Barbie. There's a Barbie doll where she's wearing a dress that descends below the belly button, and it was designed by Bob Mackie. Now, people are trying to tell me this is for an adult, but if my wife and my daughter have this doll in their possession, what we're talking about here is it's not a temptation, but it is it's a come on. It's a come on for people to behave, I think, in a less than in proper manner.
And yeah, but that sounds very thin.
Well, no, it isn't, sir.
Well, yeah, but soon it does. I mean, being less than a proper manner, how can you tell your wife, you know?
Well, I'm speaking primarily of my daughter, though.
Yeah, but these guys have said that the tattooed Barbie doll is not for children.
The tattooed Barbie doll, they say, is not for children. And yet, let me ask you a question. Who has tattoos? Who has a pink haircut? Who has a short, leather skirt that you, for all intents and purposes, you could look right, up it. And if you were sitting in the front row of a concert, we can talk about Britney Spears. We can talk about Pink. We can talk about Christina Aguilera. We can talk about any of these girls that are Katy Perry and so on. And so those are women that appeal to the under 18-year-old females. So I think it's very, very specious and spurious to say that this doll is only intended for adult women.
So you think that there is some, let me ask you, what are they going to get out of marketing it to, why not just say it's marketable to kids? And if not that, are you saying, well, they're hoping that this doll's sales will be spurred by the youth market?
I believe so. I don't think there are enough women to purchase this doll to make it worth their while. I think they need to have young women, our daughters, and that's who I'm talking about, really, Phil. My wife is going to do what she's going to do. My wife is, as a matter of fact, we are doing some shopping right now. My wife is going to do what she's going to do. I can't tell her what to do. I wish that I could, because I think in a lot of ways she behaves in ways that I don't like. Maybe I do. It doesn't make any difference, obviously to her, but I would like to tell her what to do, but I can't do that. But I can still tell my daughter what to do, and I can still say to my daughter, I'd rather you not have that doll, and I'd rather it not be sold, and I don't want my daughter having tattoos.
You know that your wife may go out and get a tattoo, and there's not much you can do about that, and tattoos are a part of society in large measure these days.
Well, that may be true, but you look at people who have tattoos, and this is also part two of what we're talking about, Bill, to encourage this kind of look, to encourage this kind of body art, as they call it, or inking yourself up, or putting on some ugly, or however you want to call it. Now you are essentially relegating your daughter or your wife to a level of society where they're not going to get a job other than the kinds of jobs that those people get. Now, the only job, a good job, that a tattoo is going to get is a tattoo artist.
You don't think they're going to get, you telling me that a guy who's got tattoos on his arms can't put on a dress shirt and go into business?
Well, a lot of these people have neck tattoos and face tattoos, and I don't think, Mr. Henry, that you're going to find a job waiting for a young lady who's decided she wants to get a face tattoo, even if it's a teardrop, or she wanted to get a image of some sort of Star Wars or some kind of nonsense. She's not going to be in the workplace for very, very long. And I can tell you, I was in a restaurant the other day, and I had a waitress who has had the both arms sleeved with tattoos. And I found it very difficult to eat my food. I found it difficult to keep it down.
And you were sickened by the tattoos. That's pretty interesting.
Well,
I mean, that, you know, to look at tattoos to be sick, and I can understand where you might get the idea that you're in a different kind. Maybe the place isn't as high class as you'd like it to be.
No, this made me sick, too, because anybody that's going to have those on their arms, they may be willing to work in a kitchen that's not the cleanest.
All of this sounds very prejudicial, though, you know, and...
Well, I don't mean it to, Mr. Henry.
I mean, for whatever you may think of tattoos, it doesn't necessarily follow that people with tattoos are bad people.
But it does follow that it's something I don't want my daughter to wear, and it does follow that I don't want people marketing and pushing at an underage girl a lifestyle that says, look at what you can put on your face, your arm, your back, look at the miniskirt she's wearing, look at how she's probably got that miniskirt, you know, too short, and, you know, and all guys, these kids these days, these young men these days, trying to get what they call upskirt videos and this kind of thing. And, of course, the other option to this is the young guys that have to sell these Barbie dolls, these Barbie dolls in their cases, and the distraction to them.
All right, we're talking here with Stephen Bozell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, about the tattooed Barbie doll and whether or not this is something for our daughters. Now, this doll is being marketed to adult women, but even you, Mr. Bozell, say that that's not necessarily the safest bet.
Well, I'm not saying it's not a safe bet. I'm just saying I just think it's one more step toward degenerative treatment of our women. And I think when you look at when you say it's being marketed to women, I don't know what you mean. I guess you're saying adult women.
Women that collect Barbie dolls.
Well, I've never heard of that. I've heard of it, but I've never...
There are a lot of women that collect Barbie dolls. They have these Barbie doll conventions.
Well, that way, that could very well be, but to buy this tattooed Barbie doll goes beyond what the Barbie doll represents. Now you're buying something that is a degenerated version of the Barbie doll, and I think all it does is cheapen the women that buy it. And of course, then it forces the men into a position of having to deal with this, and I don't want to have to do that. I don't want my wife looking at me like I'm a controlling man or anything like that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here, talking about the tattooed Barbie doll with Stephen Bozell. And the fact that this tattooed Barbie doll is not only marketed to women, but it's marketed to, it is marketed to women as a collector's item, but that young ladies may get their hands on it and get, quote, the wrong idea, whatever that means. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. From Corona, California. We're talking about the Barbie dolls that have been these Barbie doll tattoos that apparently now are upsetting a few parents across the country. And you mentioned, Steve, the Barbie dolls that have the tattoos not being appropriate for girls. You mentioned also the guys that are selling them. And
not the guy. I'm talking about the young men who are in the stores.
Right. I mean, that's. I don't understand what you mean by the young men that are in the stores.
I'm talking about young men that are in the stores. The young men that have been in the Toys R Us. And places like that.
What about them?
Well, they have these dolls behind them. They have these dolls that are on cases that are in the area there where these, generally they're young men. Yes, sometimes they have young women there too. And I had, approached a couple of them this past weekend, as a matter of fact, in this very mall, and asked them about it because I think that puts extra pressure on them.
All right, okay, so let's talk about, what do you mean pressure? You're talking about...
What what I'm talking about, Phil, is not only do you have these tattooed Barbie dolls that are being sold, these tattooed Barbie dolls that are being sold, you know, to our wives and daughters, we also have the Barbie doll itself, which is in the close proximity of the young men. And to that extent, it very much probably, most likely is a distraction. And
in what way?
In the way that you've got a doll behind you that has got this, tattoos and a short, you know, it's got a dress and everything that's short, and you got a, she's got the tattoos and it looks like I guess the word you want to use is a slut.
Okay.
And so these young men. And I asked them, I said, I bet, is that distracting to you? And they said, and I could tell by the way they looked at me, they knew exactly what I was talking about, but they're in the store there.
And well, what are you talking about?
I'm saying that this, if you're looking at this strictly as a female figure, the way the Barbie doll is already built with big, you know, with the big, I want to call them breasts, all right, and she's got on a skirt that's short and everything like this. So
you're saying that the doll is distracting from the standpoint of it being sexually attractive.
That is, yes, sir. And
what did these kids say when you said this to them?
Well, they acknowledged that what I was saying was true.
How did they acknowledge that?
Well, I mean, they gave me a look, you know, like they kind of in surprise, I think, that someone would know this.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Bozell, because this I think is a pretty good question. I mean, is the Barbie doll, the tattooed Barbie doll, is it attractive to you?
No, it's not attractive to me, sir. No.
Well, all right. Why did you assume that this was something that would attract those young men?
Because they are young men. But I'm not saying. I'm saying that I know. I'm old enough to know what. I'm old enough to know what the score is, obviously, in life, so I'm not going to be easily, I'm not going to get attracted to a Barbie doll. If I were younger, there's no question that, I would probably think differently. And,
if you're thinking differently and you gave yourself full rein to feel the way you wanted to feel about a Barbie doll.
No, you're misunderstanding. You're making it sound like I'm in love with a Barbie. I'm not in love with a Barbie doll. I'm just a young man could be distracted by the Barbie doll having a short skirt and a big breast that they give it. I can tell you, if I was that age and I had a drill handy or something, I'd probably start, drilling a hole
drilling a hole where?
Drilling. I mean, I'm talking about the Barbie doll.
Drilling a hole in the Barbie doll?
To make it more of a realistic person. But I'm saying that's probably what they would do, or what I would do were I younger. I wouldn't do it now. But the whole point that I'm making.
But you're telling me that the Barbie doll is so sexually attractive and alluring that it can distract these guys from their job. And
yeah, I think what I'm saying, I'm not saying it's sexually attractive and alluring. You're not going to leave your wife for a Barbie doll, not at my age.
But a younger guy might leave his wife?
I don't know. I don't think so. And I think you're misunderstanding what I'm trying to say here, sir.
No, I don't think I'm misunderstanding you at all. I think I heard you say that the Barbie doll sitting there on a counter behind these young men is just all of this stuff.
I just heard you say the S word.
All right, I misspoke, sir. I apologize. All this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that the Barbie doll gives the wrong message to our daughters and the wrong message to our wives, because it sends the message that to be a free and full and freed and freed up and everything woman, you got to have a tattoo on your face and all across your belly and everything. And a short and a skirt, the guy could probably see everything. And then they make it so it looks so good that a younger man might be attracted to it. And
what is the worst possible outcome to a young man being attracted to this tattooed Barbie doll?
Well, sir, I can tell now that you're probably trying to make fun of me. And
no, I'm not. I'm asking you a question because there might be something I'm missing here, you know.
The worst thing that could happen if a young man's attracted to a Barbie doll is he starts taking it out of the box and he starts drilling a hole in it. And he would destroying property.
What is that? So the worst thing, the guy's going to drill a hole in it?
Yes, sir. To make it more realistic. Realistic. You understand what I'm saying?
And then after he makes it more realistic...
I'm sorry, I don't want to answer any more questions. I just don't want to answer more questions.
All right, the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Show here, bringing on Bobby and Steve Dooley, married couple from Western Estates, California, who've written a book called The 19-Year-Old Sore, and it's a play on or an extension of, I guess, the commonly referred to phrase of the 7-year itch, which is about marriage and these bumps or these challenges that occur in the life of a marriage. One of them being at 7 years. And Bobby and Steve, welcome to the program. And you say one is at 19 years, huh?
Thank you very much. Yes, Phil, at 19 years, and that's why we named the book that.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, thank you.
You're welcome. You guys are coming up on your 20th year?
We are. Steve and I were married 20 years ago this coming August, and we have 3 sons that we love very much and 3 boys that we're very proud of. But we did face challenges in our marriage, and they were challenges that put a strain on our marriage that they would put a strain on any. Can we do one thing, Philip? And Steve is bothering me. He wants to do something for you.
Steve? It does?
Yeah, I heard what you said about the brown note. I just went.
Steve heard what you were talking about, brown note?
Well, that was the story. Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, I figured something out. I want you to hear it.
Okay.
This is Barry White when he gets hit with a brown note.
I think that's funny. I think that's cute, don't you?
Yes, that's very cute. Okay.
Don't you know that? Because we've always wondered about that song. You know.
Yeah, we realize it's probably not sexy or anything.
Steve thinks Barry White is going in. He's going in his drawers.
Yeah, going in the drawers of the brown note.
Right. I get it. I get it. It's very cute. Very cute.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the. The 19 years sore. Why not the 19-year itch, just like the 7-year itch?
Well, Phil, the longer that you're married, the more challenging. That's as simple as I can make it. The more challenging things become, as it did in our marriage. And in the book, we point up the incident that occurred. This happened just after our 19th wedding anniversary, as the boys were starting school. And I was assisting in one of the classes. My son Dylan is a senior, and I was like a teacher's assistant, a parent assistant to a gentleman by the name of Bill Baxter. He was the homeroom teacher for my son Dylan. He was also the biology teacher. In working in the classroom, I found myself becoming very attracted to this man. I found him exciting. I found him intelligent. I found him very humorous. He was a well-spoken man. He was a very attractive man. And I realized that I wasn't falling in love with the man, but I was becoming infatuated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a tough time for me, Miss Henry.
Well, I could imagine that, sir.
And I found myself questioning my values and questioning my morals and questioning what I held dear and the things that I really thought were important. And fortunately, I did not act on any attraction that I had for this man. I did not break my marital vows, but I was so tempted. And I didn't know why either, because my values, I've always felt, were very high.
You always had big values. My wife always had big values.
Let me do it, Steve.
Yeah, one person at a time, okay?
He said one person at a time.
Okay.
and I found myself compromising my values.
But you didn't. You didn't compromise your values. You stayed true to your marriage, and I don't think that that's... I think you're to be commended.
But no, I did. I did compromise my values. I did let myself down brutally. I did, Phil, in point of fact, run into what we call the 19-year sore. I did find myself...
No, but you said, didn't you? You said you did not have a sexual relationship with this man.
No, I did not.
So you had no intimate relationship with this man at all?
No, I did not. But I had compromised my values, and I had lowered myself to a level I never thought I could. And so in the 19-year sore, we discuss the lowering of your values to the point where you're nothing. You don't feel like you're anything. You feel...
No, but can I interrupt? And maybe I shouldn't be talking, because you're talking about your book.
Let me just finish this point, and then you can ask me any question you want.
Okay, go ahead.
It's difficult to pick yourself up out of the pit of depression that you find yourself in when you realize that you have compromised everything that you hold dear. Everything that you feel is a value that is holy. And I took it all, and I threw it in the dirt. I just threw it in the mud. And it was almost as if I took it and threw it into an open cesspool. And for that, I will forever be questioning myself.
Yeah, that's bad.
Let me do it, Steve.
But I'm saying it was bad on me, too.
It was worse on me.
All right, Bobby, let me ask you a question here, because I'm confused. Either you're holding yourself to a higher standard. I think that there is nothing, I shouldn't say there's nothing wrong, because I don't think the words right and wrong come into it. I think it's human. I think it's natural. I think it's what makes us who we are, that you're going to be find yourself in a situation like that and that you overcame it.
But I didn't, Phil. I did not overcome it.
No, wait a minute. Wait. You said you didn't have an intimate relationship with this man.
No, I did not.
You had no sexual relationship.
No. I don't understand. What are you asking?
I'm asking you, then, how did you compromise your values?
You did get a copy of the book, correct?
We did get a copy of the book. Bud, where's the book?
It's over in the mail over there.
Well, never mind.
Well, in the book, we do have photographs that show myself and show Bill Baxter and Steve at a parent-teacher meeting.
Okay.
So you didn't see the picture of Bill Baxter? I'm sorry. I assume that you people read the books before you interview the authors.
No, not always. No. We don't have the time. What we try to do is...
Oh, but I was mistaken.
No, what we try to do is have the author articulate the essence of the book, but there's something I'm missing here.
Well, I got to get the book.
Let me do it, please.
Mark Bunzel did it.
Let me do it, Steve. I didn't know. You didn't see. Bill Baxter has what looks like a withered arm. You didn't see that?
Yes, his arm's good.
He has a withered arm?
Oh, yes. His right arm, either from childbirth or some horrible, horrible accident. The arm is... It's almost normal length, but it's like a claw. I can't describe it.
Yeah, it's all gimp and everything.
Steve says that Steve calls it gimped up. I call it withered withered or twig-like.
So the man has some birth defect, you're saying?
I don't know. It could have been a birth defect. It could have been... Steve thought, you know, what was the joke you made, Steve?
I think he got in a pool room somewhere.
Steve thought he got in a pool room somewhere. So when you compromise your values like that and fall in love with a man...
Yeah, the guy had twigged that arm.
Steve, would you let me do it, please?
Oh, wait. So this is what you mean by compromising your values?
Well, what did you think I was talking about, Phil? I told you I did. I would never cheat on my husband. I already did that.
You know, she already did that, yeah.
You already sexually cheated on your husband.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. No, I went through that period, and I'm much stronger now. No, there was a period there where I was giving oral to any man that I meet, any man that I would meet at Kukuru. You didn't know that.
Is that in your book, too?
Yeah, it's in the first chapter.
Yeah, I get that out of the way. I say I'm not talking about normal sexual infidelity. I gave oral to every man I met at Kukuru. And the...
All right, I'm confused. That's not what you're talking about. What you're talking about is you fell in love with a guy with a withered arm.
Yes. If you look at the photograph, you can see that he's got a sweater on.
Yeah, but one arm goes into the sweater and the other arm doesn't make it out.
Yeah, the one arm comes out one side of the sweater, but the other arm, it's just dangling there. And then in the next photograph, you can see him pointing, and he's using the arm that didn't grow properly. And, well, that's why he has the eraser under his chin.
Yeah, I did that on that.
Has the eraser under, why?
Well, if you've got one arm that's withered or has been shrunk, you have to hold things under your chin.
Oh, yeah. Ain't you ever seen Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, haven't you ever seen? So, I'm sorry, Phil. I should have informed you.
No, I should have read the book. I mean, when I talked to Bud, he said it was about that you were unfaithful to your husband. And when I think of being unfaithful, I think of sexual infidelity. But you're saying that you were unfaithful to him.
No, I'm not even saying I was unfaithful to Steve. I'm saying that I compromised my values.
Because you fell for a guy?
Yeah, the arm's all gimped.
Yeah, his arm gimped, and at one point it gimped and then withered. I don't know. I don't know what the medical term is.
Well, I don't know whether gimped and then withered is even appropriate here. And to be honest with you, I think it's a little offensive.
Excuse me?
I think it's a little offensive.
Well, aren't you judgmental? I mean, I'm telling you about my life, and you're telling me that I'm being offensive. I'm telling you that I lowered my standards to be with this man. I would have done anything for this man. I fell in love with this man. And only by the grace of God, only by the grace of God and the fact that he was physically unattractive because of the arm, did I not have sex with him. Otherwise, I was lost. My soul would have been lost.
Thank God my body came back to me.
Ms. Dooley, I think you're giving yourself a little too much credit here.
I beg your pardon?
I think you're giving yourself... You say that you fell in love with this guy, and the only reason why you didn't sleep with him is because he had this arm that was deformed.
Well, it gimped and then withered.
Yeah, it gimped up and then withered in.
I don't even know what gimped up and withered in means. The guy had a deformed arm.
Yes, and I'd appreciate you not yelling at me.
Don't yell at my wife. She's been through a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet she's been through a lot, huh? Especially in the parking lot at Kookaroo.
How dare you?
That's uncalled for, Mr. Henry.
Well, I had you guys on here telling me that you're going to talk to me about the 19-year sore, or whatever the hell this thing is, about how the whole family there had to go through these trying times because... What the hell is this?
That's Barry White losing his mind.
That's Barry White crapping his pants. What do you think?
Would you please turn that off so I can talk?
Turn it off, Steve. Turn it off. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, is that right? Is that what I am? I'm a pain in the ass? Is that what I'm being? Because I'm saying to you that I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed, Miss Dooley, that you decided not to sleep with a guy because he had a, quote, withered, gimped arm, end quote. I'm not...
I was very much in love with him.
Well, yeah, uh-huh. Sure you were. Maybe you were infatuated with his intellect. Maybe you were infatuated with the kind of man that he was, his suave, debonair way, whatever it was. But when it came to his Kaiser Wilhelm arm, all bets were off.
What?
What?
Huh?
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 What?
Huh?
You want to do that a few more times, man? And then maybe if I slow it down, I got an owl sound effect.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Who's Kaiser Wilhelm?
Is that a bread?
That's right. Kaiser Wilhelm is a new kind of sandwich roll.
Well, what does that got to do with what we're talking about?
Because the guy that started the Kaiser Wilhelm bread company had a gimped up arm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think you've misunderstood me. I think you've insulted me. I think you have done everything in your power to take what I thought was an offering of goodness and an offering to all married couples so that they could find their way to happiness. You have taken it, and you have wiped your crotch with it.
Yeah, you just basically rubbed it right on your area.
I didn't do any such thing.
Well, that's what
it feels like to me.
I didn't do any such thing, Ms. Dooley. All I said was, I don't think your values are all that high.
I think, how dare you? What do you mean by that?
What does that mean, your values got compromised?
Phil, I fell under the spell of a gimped out, withered arm of a man, and all you can do is mock me. How do you feel?
What are your values?
Ordinarily, a woman is not going to fall in love with a man whose arm only goes halfway down the sleeve.
Right. How many women fall in love with a man with an arm going halfway down the sleeve?
Yeah, how many?
How many,
Mr. Henry?
I don't know, and I don't care. I'm saying your values and your morals and your sensitivity and sensibility is so limited that you think you made a big sacrifice of your morals by being infatuated with this guy who had a withered arm, but you would never deign to sleep with the guy. That's something you just wouldn't do, is it?
Well, of course not. How could you possibly think
that? Yeah, how do you think that?
I don't know. You had a period in your life where you were giving oral to every guy in the Cuckoo parking lot.
They didn't have a withered gimped up.
Yeah, they didn't gimp up.
See, do you understand the difference? There was nothing gimped.
Yeah, I understand perfectly. You are a shallow, shallow woman.
Oh, okay, everybody out there. Phil Henry wants every woman to make love to a man whose arm goes halfway down the sleeve. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody out there.
Oh, shut up. She already said it.
What an idiot. That woman.
Not that, will you, man?
No, I think it's pretty funny, but it needs work.
What?
The whole Barry White thing.
I don't care about Barry White, man. It's not interesting to me at all. I'm talking about this woman that comes on. Oh, will you? That's him being sexy.
What?
That's him trying to be. What do you mean he's losing his mud?
I think it's brown note time. Yes, brown note. The brand new beer from Barry White.
Not funny. All right, we'll be back. This is the world famous. I had to compromise my values. I fell in love with a guy whose arm only went halfway down the sleeve.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
David Hall on three, and I have Gary Dupree going on four. We do have to get intro on music and everything.
I have not been told about this.
That's right, David Hall.
Yeah, David.
All right, Gary Dupree, that's me. And then go into the final stage of the lightning round. I'm sorry I have to jump in here, but Gary Dupree, that's me as new setup. And I want to make sure we get the setup, and then, of course, we move into him, and of course, it's fully sponsored.
I wasn't told about this.
I'm telling you now.
Can you tell me before I go on the air? How about that?
I'm sorry. Gary Dupree, that's me. You know who that is?
I know some kid that calls from Minneapolis every now and again with Gary. Hi, Phil. It's Gary Dupree. That's me.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, buddy. Hit it. Now, make sure that you hit that, then you come in with the sting, and then Gary Dupree, that's me. Got it?
I got it.
Go ahead, Phil.
It's go the ahead, Phil Henry Show what? Featuring Gary Dupree.
No, wait a minute, but don't hit that. I want Phil to do it.
Okay, we had it pre-produced.
I know, but I want to send that back to the home office to have some adjustments made. So,
what are you, Jack? Turn that crap off. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Somebody better start answering some questions here. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Gary turn the music off, bud.
All right, let me, did that do it?
Yeah, that did it. Did that do it? You know, is Gary on the line?
Yeah, he's getting impatient.
Go ahead, Phil. Gary Dupree, that's me. Come on, man.
And now, the Phil Hendry Show presents...
All right, cut. That sucked. Hold on for a minute. Cut. You gotta do it good. Do it good.
What do you mean, do it good?
Well, you don't go... Jesus.
You're making me sound like I got some disability or something.
Well, it sounds like it. You ready? What are you, deaf? Hey, Phil, why don't you just do it like a deaf guy?
Yeah, let's just do it like a deaf guy.
And do it like the pee. Want to do it like that?
You know, David...
No, don't think you know David anything. Come on. All right, bud... Go ahead and hit it.
And now, Gary Dupree, that's me.
Brought to you by Midol.
Will you come on with this? What does that mean, brought to you by Midol? Since when has this guy got a sponsorship?
He's got, I don't know, he says he does.
He's a lying little sack of crap.
Just do it. I don't have to warn you again. Where's the music, bud?
I missed it.
You hang up on this guy before I flip my lid. Where is this punk?
He's on line four.
Get his music ready.
All right. Hey, Gary? Yeah, don't worry about it. Henry, you know he's a little slow.
Will you give me that phone? Is this you, Dupree? Yeah? Get ready, okay? What do you mean, who do I think I'm talking to? I'm talking to you, you little putz. Now get ready, all right? I'm going to bring you on. You ready? You sure? Here we go. And now, Gary Dupree, that's me, brought to you by Midol. Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time for the hour, Gary. What's that? Oh, my mom, huh? My mother? No, your mother. That's right. Your mother. No, your mother. No, your mother.
Phil Hendry.